Carol Colquhoun is being interviewed by Renee Garalick for Concord's Oral History Program, sponsored by the Concord Historical Commission. The interview is being held at the Concord Country Club on June 9, 1977. Mr. Colquhoun is 69 years old. The popularity of golf is a 20th century phenomenon. Could you describe the involvement of the Concord Country Club?
Well, the beginning naturally is started in the old country when someone from this area went to England or Scotland and was introduced to the game. One of the leading lights at that time in Concord as far as golf was concerned was Moses Bradford, who was the club's first president. The first club in Concord was opened in 1895 in an area now known as the Muster Field, which is in back and partly of Neshottock Hill. The past presidents of the Concord Country Club, Mr. Herbert Hosmer, Mr. Charles Edgerton, Mr. Henry Kidder, Mr. Charles B. Johnson, Mr. Arthur Brooks, and down to the present time of Mr. Tyson and Mr. Everett Parker. In 1914, the club purchased the John Brown Farm and laid out the first nine holes. The architect was Donald Ross, who became the leading course architect for many years in this country. The second nine was started in 1929 and opened in 1930. Again, Donald Ross is architect. A great deal of the work was supervised by a former president's son, known as Beebe Hosmer, and when the second nine was officially opened, Beebe's father was picked to strike the first ball. It might be of interest to remind some of the people who will perhaps listen to this taping to know some of the families involved with the original golf. And we will name a few and hope that other people will not be felt left out. Of course, I cannot remember all of these as they were. But we can say the Alfred Curtis family, the Herbert Hosmers, the Beebe Hosmers, the Barretts, the C. Hayden Whitneys, the Herbert Townsends, the Alcatrats, the George Kyes, the Buttricks, the Edgertons, the Lockwoods, the Pheasants. Incidentally, one of the original members, Grace Kyes, Miss Grace Kyes, was one of the early women's champions of the state. I believe that tournament was played at the Braeburn Country Club. Miss Kyes' winning of the championship was early in the 1905 or 1906. Could have better records if they had the cup here, but we don't. The record of that people talk about a lot is the inception of clubs around the country. And a few years back, I happened to see some pictures that were taken at Belle Reve, where they have a large plaque of the beginning clubs in this country. And the Concord Golf Club was its original name, since changed to the Concord Country Club. was either number 15 or 16 on that plaque. As all things from a very modest beginning, the club had only 9 holes, and a great many things have changed since that time. An example of Yankee ingenuity, the original farmhouse, which was situated in the area of the clubhouse, present clubhouse, is now a part of the Emerson Hospital's nursing home, nurse's home, I guess. That was moved from its original area by the local builder and mover, Mr. Edward A. Camo. Family is still in business in the town, although the manner of doing now with trucks, this all was accomplished with horses, teams, and manpower. In a very modest beginning of 9 holes and 1 tennis court, to its present 18 holes, 6 tennis courts, and a large family swimming pool with all facilities, it occupies approximately 200 acres and is bounded by a substantial acreage of H. Hosmer land, Herbert Hosmer land, which is now in Conservation Trust. The Conservation Trust land borders a part of the golf course around the 5th hole, and does go from that part of the golf course to the adjoining land of Madison, and also out to the road of, which is the old road to 9 Acre Corner.
How have golf clubs and golf courses changed over the course of the 20th century?
Well, the golf clubs themselves, of course, have changed a tremendous amount. They make comparison of the golfers today and of the present time, where we take records made by Bobby Jones, who did play some golf at the Concord Country Club when he was at Harvard. The changing, in those days, all wooden shafted, and you play in the sunshine with them, and then it rains, the action of the golf club changed considerable. But Bobby Jones and his expertise was able to overcome these particular facets of it and still make records around all parts of the country. The golf club themselves, we used to be all names and not numbers like the present people are. We had names for each and every one of the golf clubs. We had a driver, we had a spoon, we had a baffy, we had a cleek, which would be equivalent today to a driving iron. We had a mid-mashy, we had a mashy niblick, we had a niblick, and naturally, of course, putter, which has always been in the bag. We also had specialty clubs, as they do today. Specialty clubs in those days. Number one, a track iron, which I doubt if very, very many people would understand without an explanation of it. But in the beginning of golf, of course, all of your fairways were cut with horse-drawn vehicles, and very narrow wheeled, which would leave indentations in the earth. So a track iron was made, and which I believe there are a few, I know I have one, still in existence, but made so that it would fit into the groove on the ground and make it so that the golfer could move his ball from that particular position. In those days, there weren't as many rules for relief as there are today. In the old days, you hit your golf ball into a certain area. It was up to you and your ability to remove it from there. In the original golf course, back of Neshottok Hill, the average obstacle or hazard, as we will use for a saying in this, is not a sand trap, but in most instances were stone walls which designated certain areas or perhaps ownership by different people. These were the things that you had to contend with in those days, plus not a lush carried down fairway where that the golf ball would set up so that, well, like today, you can take good fairways and use a driver off of it.
Were there golf tees, golf bags, caddies in the earlier part?
In the earlier part, there were caddies, but golf tees, the golfer made his or her tee. There was at each and every tee a tee box, as denoted in those days, which contained a quantity of his composition of topsoil and sand to which the golfer could form into a mound and place his ball on in the same area or the same height as he might do today with the advent of the wooden tee. The wooden tees came into popularity in the early 1930s, along with many, many other things that were added to the game, such as the caddy cart to take the place of the caddy. To my mind, of course, the loss of the caddy in many instances has taken a great deal out of the game. And for all things, of course, the main thing was association with the youngster who was beginning getting into the area of golf. Now, at the same time, we have the golf courses as they have come about now. The average private club, as we will term, is a different animal than our so-called municipal golf courses today. The municipal golf courses have been brought about by the great demand of golfers in all walks of life. And they are primarily wide open with little or no hazards, as the fellow will say, to expedite the time that a round of golf will be played and bring it so that the municipal course can accommodate more people than, we say, the average private club. If people will examine records as they talk about them today, we find quite a difference in the scoring on the municipal golf courses through the professional golfer and the private club. Now, most years, the private club will be the scene of our Open Championship, which is one of the toughest tournaments to ever win. In its beginning, the Open Championship would maybe draw a field of 20 golfers. Today, the golfers that have become expertise enough to qualify or get into it now numbers up in the thousands. So we have loads of qualifying areas or the countrywide. And to go back, though, to the golf courses as laid out, the one of the first open championships that drew and made a great deal of change in the game of golf took place in 1913 at the Brookline Country Club, where that a young man by the name of Francis Wheat startled the golf world by defeating in a playoff two of the elder statesmen of golf from Great Britain, Harry Vardon and Ted Ray, to experience, as far as the three were concerned. Francis Wheat was not given much chance to win in this playoff, but he did astound the world by winning that playoff with a 72 for the 18 holes. And now we come 57. Years later, the same Open Championship was played at the Brookline Country Club, and the winning scores that year was 294 strokes for 72 holes of medal play. The golf course was not thought to be tough enough for the present crop of professionals, but they found out very early in the game that the golf course was a little bit better than the golfer at the time. That tournament was held on the golden anniversary of Mr. Wienert's winning at Brookline.
The golf courses have evolved with the changing conditions of the time. How did 18 holes of golf come to be a round of golf?
Well, only from legend, not having anything but that to go by, there was a gentleman in the old country, whether an earl or otherwise, I do not know. I do have a print of this gentleman, and it is quite noticeable that his caddy in frock coat had a bottle of liquor. According to the number of holes played and the consumption of the liquor, it usually was 18 holes. And whether truthful or otherwise, this seems to be the content of why 18 holes on a golf course.
You have been a golf pro here for 46 years. Is there one colorful story that you would like to sum up the tone of the town?
Well, I think that I would go back to one of the old settlers, as we would use the word, Mr. Beebe Hosmer, as he was known by most everyone. It does, I think, bring out the total independence of people of that time. And I do remember Mr. Beebe Hosmer bringing to the Concord Country Club one evening Mr. and Mrs. Henry Ford for dinner. At that time, Mr. Ford was involved in the restoration of the Wayside Inn, which is quite a show place for memorabilia of those times. Mr. Hosmer did come to the club that night, and tuxedo, as would be the proper thing with the entertainment of a person of Mr. Ford's stature. Mr. Ford, of course, was in evening clothes. And I happened to be on our putting green, which is at the very front of the clubhouse, when Mr. Hosmer stopped and called over to me. I was putting there and said, "Harold, you know," he says, "I got the stuffed shirt on. Take a look at this." With this, he put his foot up on the railing, and he had moccasins on that I would say were about as old as he was, but he said to me at the time, "If I can't have comfort one way," he says, "I'm going to have it on my feet."
That's beautiful. Thank you.